1997 Braillite 2000 User Guide. Beginning with Chapter 14, the Portable Disk Drive.
Chapter 14, the Portable Disk Drive. We spend very little time explaining standard computer terms for formatting a disk, operating system, text file, etc. We assume you're familiar with these basic computer terms or have access to training on them. Rather, our focus is on the Braillite's interaction with other devices. The portable disk drive is the Braillite's passport to the world of computers. It lets you work with standard 3.5-inch disk, formatted for an MS-DOS IBM PC-compatible computer. You can load text documents, ASCII text files, into the Braillite, read them, edit them, even transfer them back onto disk. You can load programs, applications, specially written for the Braillite, such as the Clockwork Writer and the Spell Checker, adding even more power to your unit. You can list the contents of a disk, a directory, format a disk, prepare it to receive information, delete files on the disk, create new ones, etc. The disk drive can format and read either 720K or 1.44 megabytes low and high density disk. When you command the drive to format a disk, it determines whether the disk is low or high density and formats accordingly. How to operate the disk drive. New. Note. Laser Engineering now has a new, slimmer version of the portable disk drive. You may have an older model. Check out Appendix C for details on which chargers work with the new disk drive. In addition, the cable that connects the new disk drive to your Braillite 2000 is different from the one you may already have. So check with Blazy for details on upgrading your older model. The disk drive connects to either of the Braillite 2000 ports. A cable comes with the drive when you purchase it. The connector that fits into the Braillite feels identical to the DIN connector on your serial Braillite 2000 cable. See section 15.1.2. Now, let's see what this drive looks like before we start messing with file transfers between it and the Braillite. Position the drive with the slot where the disk goes facing towards you. Rest the unit on a flat, stable surface, like a desk. Now look at the back of the device. Starting from the left, the first thing you find is a rocker switch. This powers up the disk drive. It comes in the off position from the factory. Rock to the right. To turn on the disk drive, you rock it to the left. But don't do that yet. Now feel along the back of the unit to the right, past a rectangular object. This is the port, or the cable that connects the drive to your Braillite. Continue to the right until you find the jack for the drive's 12-volt charger. The disk drive can be operated from its internal battery, much like the Braillite, and it should be fully charged when you purchase it. Nevertheless, you might want to plug your charger into the unit the first time you run the drive. The battery in the disk drive is identical to the battery in the Braillite. In fact, the two battery chargers are interchangeable. The disk drive needs only 2 to 4 hours to attain a full recharge, and it can run for 3 to 5 hours before needing another recharge. Move back now toward the middle of the back side of the disk drive until you feel the rectangular object we mentioned a moment ago. As we said, this is the port that connects the disk drive cable to your Braillite. In order for the drive to power up, you must have the cable connected to the port on the drive and to one of the ports on the Braillite, and the Braillite itself must be turned on. If you try to turn on the disk drive without first inserting the cable into the port, connecting it to your Braillite, and then turning on the Braillite, nothing will happen. Let's examine the cable more closely. One end, as we pointed out at the beginning of this section, has a DIN connector. The top of the housing of this connector is flat. To help you align it properly to your rail light port, the rim of the connector is semicircular, and there are tiny pins located on the inside of this rim. These pins fit snugly and precisely into either of your rail light ports. Now, the other end of the disk drive cable fits into the rectangular port located in the middle of the back side of the disk drive. Those of you familiar with parallel printer cables will notice that this port and connector are miniature variations of the Centronics port and connector found on a parallel printer. Align the connector with the port and gently push until the connector meets snugly with the port. You'll hear a distinctive click when the cable is properly seated in the port. Although there is no marking on the connector, it can only go into the port one way. So if you find you're having trouble, turn the connector around and try again. Notice that on either side of the housing of this connector are two small clips. To remove the cable from the drive, simply squeeze these clips together and the port will come loose. Once the cable is properly connected to both the disk drive and the rail light, you may go ahead and turn on the disk drive. You'll hear three distinct tones to indicate that the unit is active. Insert the disk that came with the drive, barrel side up and with the characters facing away from you, into the slot in the front of the machine. The disk should click into place, and a small square button to the right of the slot should pop out towards you. When you're ready to extract this disk from the drive, simply push that button in, and the disk will pop out. Mostly, you'll be storing and retrieving files between the disk drive and your rail light, so we'll go through examples of each type of transmission. Retrieving a file from disk. First, you need to create a space in the rail light to receive the incoming file. But how do you know what size to make it? And what if you make it too small? Won't you lose some of the text in the file, or couldn't you end up with a huge empty space in your rail light? If you know the size of a file in bytes, and remember that a rail light page holds up to 4,096 characters, you can then guesstimate how many braille light pages are required for a file. But if you guess wrong, you're still okay, as you see. Let's go through a simple, concrete example of retrieving an existing file from the disk that came with the drive. Let's create a file called disk, 6 braille light pages long, with braille translation turned off. Once you're in the file, press an X code. The braille light says, storage. Now, write an L, and at the prompt, load, enter file name. Write the word disk. Press an E code to start the transmission. You'll hear some clicks from the disk drive, and some hissing noises from the braille light. Within a very short time, the braille light will say, file is full. And if interactive mode is on, it will start speaking the text of the file. Set up the braille light by writing a .456 chord to go to the end of the file. Check how much room you have left with an R chord. You can hear something like, room left is 11. You can read this file in the usual way. Go ahead and do that now, moving to the top of the file and either listening to the complete text or skipping around in the file. Do you have the complete file saved on the braille light? Well, one way to find out is to read the current line at the end of the file with a C chord. In the current example, you'll hear something like, by R. It doesn't sound like the end of a document, does it? Actually, the disk drive emits a single tone when it completes sending a file to the braille light, and the braille light itself says OK. Since this didn't happen, we can assume there is more text in the file that hasn't been transmitted yet, because the braille light ran out of room. The disk drive is smart enough to know when the braille light can't take any more data and stop sending text. Let's see how to continue getting more of the file from the disk drive. Make the Braille-like file bigger by one Braille-like page, say, then go to the end of the file. This is still just after the last character the file had before you expanded it. The difference now is that there are another 4,096 empty spaces that can be filled with data from the disk drive. Now press an escort at the storage prompt from the Braille-like, write an R for resume. This time, the disk drive should emit a single tone, indicating that it has finished sending the file, and the Braille light should say OK to acknowledge that it has received the complete file. Of course, this process doesn't work if you turn off the disk drive, thinking you got the whole file, and then turn it on again when you realize you didn't. The disk drive isn't that smart. Once you turn it off and then on again, it can't remember what file it had been sending, and certainly not at what point it had stopped. Once you hear the OK prompt, you can proceed as before, reading the file in the usual way. Incidentally, you've probably noticed a couple of tones from the disk drive every few minutes. Don't worry, it's the drive's way of reminding you that it's still on, just as the Braille light has a power reminder feature that says hello when you've left it inactive for a few minutes. Now, how about if you want to save a file onto disk from the Braille light? Saving a file to disk. There are several ways to save a file from the Braille light to a disk. Two common methods include saving a file merely for backup purposes, saving a file as a print file, ready for a printer or word processor to handle, and saving a file as a BRL file, ready to send to a Braille embosser. The simplest way to save a file from the Braille light to a disk, mostly used for backup purposes, is to press an S cord from within the file and at the storage prompt, write an S for save. The Braille light says, save, enter file name. Use the MS-DOS file naming conventions to name the file and press an E cord. The disk drive spins and the Braille light hisses and clicks. Shortly, a single tone from the disk drive followed by an OK from the Braille light tells you that your transfer was successful. You can check the status of Braille translation through the status menu, but this method of saving facilitates that. You don't have to think about the way your Braille translator is currently set before saving the file. Another method of saving files is this. From within the file you want to save, press an F cord. At the storage prompt, write a P to save the file translated from grade to Braille to normal English text, a text file, or write a B to save the file as a grade to Braille file to be printed on a Braille embosser. For clarity, you might answer the enter file name prompt with a filename.txt for print files, and with filename.brl for Braille files. The Braille light goes through its usual clicks and hisses and the disk drive spins. Your transfer is complete when you hear OK from the Braille light and a single tone from the drive. A note of caution. In our present discussion, we haven't addressed physical page layout, page length, margins, centering, etc. Before you save a file as a print or Braille file you intend to send to a printer or Braille embosser, you must set up the appropriate page format for the file. Otherwise, your file is translated into print or grade to Braille, but its page layout may be a mess. Review section 4.10 for a full discussion of formatting things you can include in your files, as well as format parameters you can set from the status menu. Whether you're transmitting an application, computer program, or a text file to or from a disk drive, or perhaps a group of files, choose another more sophisticated transmission method. 14.4, transmitting text files or applications. First, let's take a look at how this optional transmission process works, regardless of the type of file being transferred. In the next section, we'll deal specifically with transferring programs or applications through the Braille Light. Enter the Files menu and press a key code for Transfer a File. The Braille Light sees that the disk drive is connected and prompts you with Disk Drive, enter F to send or R to receive. If you press an F or an R, you hear the names of the files as they are being transmitted. Sending files to the disk drive. Write an S to send files to the drive. The Braille Light prompts you with the name of the file to which you're pointing in your files list, and tells you whether that file is marked. Marking the Braille Light files you want to send prepares them for transmission. You can navigate to your files list to hear which files are marked. If you don't want the file you're pointing to sent to the disk drive, unmark it with an N. Then move through your files list, unmarking files with an N, forward with .4 chords or backward with .1 chord, to the beginning or end of the files list with an L chord and .456 chords as usual. When you find a file you do want to send, write a Y to mark it for sending. There's a quicker way to mark and unmark files. When you find the file you want to mark, press a Y chord to mark the file. This automatically moves you to the next file in your files list. Finally, if you want to send all the files in your Braille Light files list, write an M to mark them all at once. Write a U to unmark your entire files list all at once and select individual files to send. You can also use wildcard characters to mark groups of files with similar names. See section 6.8 for details on wildcard characters. Press an M chord or a U chord to mark and unmark a specific group of files that have similar names. For example, suppose you have several files with names like names.brl and books.brl. Press an M chord followed by the character star.brl. That's an asterisk, a period, then the letters brl. All files with names that end in .brl are marked for sending to the drive. Similarly, a U chord followed by star.brl unmarks that group of files so that they are not sent. And are you remembering to use computer Braille? .16 for the asterisk, .1456 for the question mark, and .46 for the period. By the way, you can toggle between marking and unmarking a file to which you're pointing by pressing the space bar. When you've marked all the files you want to send to the drive, press an E chord to let the Braille Light start sending files. You hear the drive spin and nothing much from your Braille Light unit until it finishes sending. Then it prompts you with OK, enter file command. Remember, you started this process from within the files menu. The Braille Light knows that, so it leaves you there when it completes the transmission. Receiving files from the disk drive. From the files menu, press a P chord. At the prompt, disk drive, enter S to send or R to receive, write an R. The Braille Light prompts, enter file name, and waits for you to write the name of a known file on the disk in the drive, or a group of similarly named files. Press an E chord to let the Braille Light start receiving. You may use wildcard characters for similarly named groups of files, as illustrated above. After you press the E chord to signal the Braille Light to begin receiving files from the drive, you should hear the drive spin and eventually the Braille Light say OK. Files from the drive are appended to the end of your Braille Light files list. However, if there is already a file in your Braille Light with the same name as a file you're trying to transmit from disk, you hear a prompt. File exists. Delete, skip, rename, or abort. Choose D to delete your Braille Light file and replace it with the incoming file. receive asks to skip the file and move to the next one on disk to transmit. When he sees R for rename, the Braille light still transmits the file, but it also adds a zero extension to your old file to distinguish it from the new ones. Choose A for abort to cancel the entire transmission procedure and return to the file's menu on the Braille light. Next, let's see how to receive a file that is a program or application, not a text file. Adding an application to the Braille light. Up to now, we've been talking exclusively about sending and receiving text files, that is, files with text you can read in them. As you may know, the other type of file a computer uses is a program, a file that instructs a computer on how to do something, like run a word processor or a spreadsheet application. For the Braille light, there are new applications being developed all the time that you can add to your unit. For example, the checkbook writer. You can send to the Braille light an application or binary file using the transfer command just described. We'll use the handy financial calculator as our example, so you can find out how much interest you're actually going to pay on the loan you just took out to buy your Braille light. Insert the disk, whose label starts with checkbook, into your drive. From the files menu, press a T chord, as before. This time, answer the question with an R. The Braille light says, enter file name. Respond, fcalc.star. Narrator's note, fcalc is fcalc.asterisk. He thinks that. This way, both fcalc.bns and fcalc.doc files will be transmitted. The Braille light recognizes files with .dns extensions as programs, and the file with an extension of .doc is probably the file that tells you how to use the program. Press an E chord. The disk drive spins, and eventually the Braille light says OK. Obviously, if the file is not on the disk, you hear an error message. As you'll see in a minute, you can check what files are on a disk. For now, we'll assume that things worked fine and that you have the file in your Braille light. Go to the end of your files list to see the name of the last file. You should hear file number X, fcalc.bns, external program, where X is the number of the file in your files list. Press a .1 chord to back up a file and hear file number X, fcalc.doc. The Braille light knows that the file with an extension .dns is not a text file. Press a .4 chord to point to it again and open it. You'll see that when you try to read it, you hear gibberish. That's because this file is meant to be run, just as you run your spell checker, and not read, as you would read your address file. To run this special calculator program, you'll need to read its user guide called fcalc.doc. There are two ways to run the program. Simply press an O chord to get into the options menu, then write an X. The Braille light says, enter program to execute. Write fcalc and press an E chord. The Braille light loads the program and gives you its first prompt. Click this particular program with a key from its main menu. You'll be back in the files menu at the prompt, enter file command. Or bring up the files menu and point to the fcalc.bns file by pressing .4 chords until you're on it. In our example, you could just press a .456 chord to reach the last file in your files list, which is the file we want. Then press an X chord. The Braille light loads the program and gives you its first prompt. As we said above, the Braille light recognizes files with a .dns extension as external programs and automatically write protects them. Files with extensions bin, dns, com, dic, exe, and fys are also write protected automatically. You can delete such files, but you cannot write in them. If you're not ready to explore the financial calculator, delete it at this time, or save it for when you're more comfortable with your unit's overall features. .6 Leading the directory from a disk. Recover the directory command here, since you must know what's on a disk to use it effectively. But we won't describe all the commands you can use with the disk drive, such as format a disk or kill a file on disk. These commands assume an understanding of MS-DOS. They all begin with the S chord and are followed with the first letter of the command. For example, S chord followed by K is the command for killing a file on disk. A list of disk drive functions is in the Braille Light help file and in Appendix B. From anywhere within your currently open file, press an S chord followed by a D. Respond with an E chord for a complete list, sorted alphabetically, and with file size information only. Or respond with a specific file on the disk whose name you know, or a specific group of files whose names all end with, say, DNS, using wildcard characters. Then press an E chord. Add /n after the D to get an unsorted list of files. Write a /w after the D if you want the files alphabetically sorted and you want to see the dates and times they were last modified. Whichever way you invoke the directory command, momentarily the Braille Light will have received the directory, and if interactive mode is on, it will start save, volume label, and begin listing files. Is this list being transmitted to your currently open file? No. Luckily, the clipboard, that scratch pad area that holds things for you in the Braille Light, is receiving the directory list. You can read it from the clipboard file, as you read any other text. One new trick is that you can load a file into your Braille Light directly from the clipboard, as you read through the directory of files. Bring up your cursor onto the file you want to load, then press an S chord G. The file is automatically loaded into your Braille Light at the end of your files list. Check out the section on sophisticated modem protocols in the next chapter, because you can also use the S chord command with the Y modem protocol, and using it can save you time. The disk drive opens up a whole new infinite realm of possibilities for you to explore. Printers let you communicate with others by physically producing your work on paper. Computers and modems, especially modems, can broaden your options even further. And speaking of printers and other computers, we turn to them next. Chapter 15. Printers, modems, and computers. .1 Transmission considerations. Your Braille Light is preset from the factory for 9600 baud, 8 data bits, 1 stop bit, no parity, half duplex, and software handshaking. If you're unfamiliar with these terms and you don't know what your other device expects these settings to be, review section 13.2 before continuing. It might save you countless hours of frustration the first time you try to transmit data between the Braille Light and another device. And while we're about it, if you bypass the discussion of cables, section 13.1, we suggest you take a minute to skim over that section as well. Wrong cables account for a considerable amount of technical support questions and needless frustration. Now let's talk about a couple of settings on the Braille Light we deliberately left out of section 13.2 to avoid confusion. .1 Activating the serial port. To conserve power, the serial port on the Braille Light is normally turned off. Before you can communicate with any external device through this port, you must activate it. The longer the serial port is active, the greater the drain on the Braille Light's battery. If you make heavy use of the port, the battery drains quickly. Don't think anything is wrong with the battery if you start getting battery low warning messages after only 7 hours of use, for instance. So check your battery drain periodically. See section 1.5.3 for details. There is no reminder that the serial port is active once your unit is turned on. If the serial port was left active the last time you turned off the bell light, when you next turn it on, the startup message says, "Bell light ready, serial port." So it's important to turn off the serial port immediately upon completing communication with another device to save battery power. Of course, you can check whether the port is active. Enter the status menu with an ST sign cord and write an F. The bell light says, "Serial port off." To turn it on, write a Y. To turn it off later, write an N. Or press the ST cord to bring up the parameters menu. At the enter parameter prompt, write .T6 cord. The bell light says, "Serial port." Enter wire in. Whatever your choice, the bell light may only speak in response, although most of the time you'll hear the confirming prompt okay. This setting is hard to change on purpose to avoid accidental activation of the serial port. Attending line feeds. Back in Chapter 4, we explained the difference between a carriage return and a line feed and why it is that you don't really need to have line feeds present in your files on the braille light. Let's revisit this briefly to see how it applies to our present discussion on transmitting text. In effect, the carriage return moves the cursor to the left margin of the line. In the braille light, it doesn't affect your reading because you are not physically moving up and down a piece of paper to read. So the carriage return serves only as a marker. A line feed, on the other hand, moves the cursor to the next line on the page. Once again, in a braille light file, line feeds are meaningless because you're not physically moving vertically along a piece of paper. However, it's clear that when you print the contents of braille light files, you need both carriage returns and line feeds. Otherwise, a printer will simply print the first line of text, then return the carriage to the left margin and print the next line, and the next, without ever moving down the page. And you can guess what a jumble of letters you'll have, all on the same line. Some printers actually refuse to print at all, if they don't receive pairs of carriage returns and line feeds. Luckily, there's a provision built into the braille light to deal with this. Enter the status menu with the ST sign cord. Write an A. The braille light says something like, "Add line feed when transmitting, off." Turn this parameter on with a Y and off with an N. Unless you're transmitting, you'll want it off. Or press a key cord to bring up the parameters menu. Write an A for add line feed and turn on the setting before you transmit your file. A word of caution, the add line feed setting is not file specific. Even if the setting to make parameters file specific in the status menu is on. This is important because if you forget to turn it off when you're through printing, all of your files will retain line feeds and that may cause other transmission problems. Next, let's quickly revisit page formatting to make sure your printouts come out just right. Physical page format considerations. When sending text directly to a printer, braille embosser, or computer, you want it to look right in that environment. In other words, if the text is going to a printer, you probably want the page length to be 54 lines, with top, bottom, left, and right margins of about an inch, for example. If the text is going to a braille embosser, on the other hand, no doubt you'll want something like a page length of 25 lines, a line width of 40 characters, and a grade 2 braille. As you'll recall, these format considerations can be handled simply by including special formatting strings in your file as you write, and by setting certain parameters at transmission time. Review section 4.10 for a complete discussion of formatting strings and parameters. Here, we'll only focus on settings and formatting strings that affect the actual process of printing or borrowing. All of these formatting strings can be added temporarily and removed once the commands they initiate have been performed by the printer or Braille embosser. Printing text without translating. There may be times when you want a portion of your file not to be translated from grade to Braille because you've written it in computer Braille instead. For example, say your document explains how to write a certain MS-DOS command that has slashes in it. If you do nothing to warn the Braille light, when it prints your file to an ink printer, every slash will be printed as an ST. In fact, you should be aware of this even as you write it, because the Braille light will pronounce things like slash W as STW. To prevent the Braille light from accidentally translating something you don't want translated, you have two options for temporarily stopping translation. Place a dollar sign, BRL, plus, just before the text you want to print, untranslated, and a dollar sign, BRL, minus, just before the place where you want translation to resume. Or use the symbol, .4, followed by a dash, .36, at the beginning of a group of characters you don't want translated, and a .4, followed by an L, when you want translation to resume. Like the dollar formatting string, the .4 symbol requires spaces around it. So you'd write something like space .4 dash space. Do not translate this text. Space .4 L space. Either method works. It's just a matter of preference. If you just want one character not to be translated, say an asterisk .16 in computer Braille, place a .4 before the character. Finding out what page is being printed. There are two ways to find out what page is being printed. You can either insert the string $ST at the place where you want specifically to hear what page is being printed. As it's printing, the Braille light will announce status directive encountered on page X, line X, at the place you wrote the formatting string in your file, the X is being the actual number of the page and line printing at that time. Or, you could always just press the space bar as you're printing at any time to hear what page is being printed. This way, you don't have to add a special string into your file at any particular point in the file. Transmitting a portion of a document. Although we covered this in section 4.10.6, we review it here for clarity. There are two ways you can limit how much of your document actually goes to the printer or Braille embosser. For example, you might just want to print out page 1 to see how your text is lining up in the columns you set up. At the point where you want the printer to stop, write a dollar sign ES in your file. When you transmit your document to the printer, it will stop at the place immediately before your dollar sign ES string. But what if your printer jammed on page 4 and you need to start from there, just before the place where you want the printer to skip the text? Write a dollar left parentheses into your file, just before the place where you want the printer to start paying attention again and begin printing, write a dollar sign right parenthesis. Even if you're not sure of the physical location in your file where the printer would begin page 4, there is a way to find that out before you actually insert the strings we just described. In section 15.2.5, we'll show you how to figure out where the word you're on would print on a physical page and line. 15.3.4. Double spacing a document on the fly. In section 4.10.4, we describe how you can place a formatting string into your file so that your document will print out with a blank line in between each line of text. This type of printout is often used in a school setting where a professor wants to be able to add comments to your paper or exam. In some cases, you'll want to have only a portion of your document print double-spaced, and then the rest print out single-spaced, which is the standard way to print out documents. The formatting things discussed in section 4.10.4 are best for that scenario because you can place them exactly where you want the text to print out double-spaced and single-spaced, respectively. But if you want the whole document to print double-spaced, it's quicker to use the status menu setting for double-spacing. Enter the status menu with the usual ST sign chord, .34 chord, and jump to the setting with an AR sign. Double spacing is set to off from the factory. Write a Y to turn it on. Now, when you print your document, or when you check out how many pages the printed document would contain, you'll get a very different answer, because of course, it's as if your document were itself doubled in size. The good thing is that it doesn't take up any more room in your Braille light, since the setting in the status menu controls the additional blank lines. It's just like the add line feed setting in this respect. It doesn't change the way your file looks on the Braille display or make the Braille light's voice read the file differently. It just affects the printout of the file. Unless you have the setting that makes parameters file-specific turned off, double-spacing is only in effect for the currently open file. That's probably the way you want it, because otherwise, all your documents would print out double-spaced. Previewing where text will print. Remember from section 4.10.5 that you can control page numbering for both print and Braille files with formatting strings. Also, recall that there is a setting in the status menu that you can turn on to number your pages if you don't want or need to include format strings in your file. You can check how many physical print or Braille pages your file would contain before you'd actually print or Braille it on physical paper. By now you know how essential it is to set up your page format parameters to get accurate margins and page lengths, etc. Always check page format parameters in your currently open file before you transmit it to a printer or Braille embosser to make sure the settings match your expectations. Let's look at an example. Suppose you want to print a file containing 500 characters of text all in grade 2 Braille. We can't be exactly sure how many print or Braille pages that file turns into without knowing how many blank lines you have and how many tags returns you physically put into the file. But even beyond that, if you set up your page format parameters for print with, say, 66 lines per page and 65 characters per line, when the Braille light counts the number of pages, it will determine a very different number than if you had set your page format parameters to a page length of 25 and a line length of 40, as for a Braille file. The whole business can be confusing. But you can stay on top of it by checking whether your file is a Braille or a print file, by checking your page format parameters before checking how many physical pages will be printed or Brailled, and certainly before transmitting the file itself. Even with page numbering turned off from the status menu, as long as you have a print or Braille page length greater than zero, you can get a reading on how many physical pages your file will contain when it's printed or Brailled. Working with our example of a 500-character grade 2 Braille file, go to the end of the file and press an SH sign chord. .146 chord. The Braille light says enter T, B, or A. After you write either a C or a B, the bell light flickers for a couple of seconds. Eventually, it says something like, page 2, line 17. Assuming you responded with a T, you now know that when you actually print out this file, it will contain 2 pages, and the second of the 2 will be only about a third of the way full of text. If you had chosen a B response, and you got this reading, you could assume that the file would braille out as a 2-page document with the second page almost 2/3 full of text. If you choose the A option, you'll get a reading on how many absolute braille light pages there are in your file, up to the point where your cursor is resting. In our 500-character file, you're still on braille light page 1, of course, since the braille light page is 4,096 characters long. There can be a problem if you don't have page numbering turned on and you have a braille or print page length of 0 set in the status menu. In this scenario, when you invoke the SHSign chord and choose the P or B response, you hear no page format set. We suggest you try a few test runs, setting up page format parameters and using the page numbering setting as trials before you actually trust that things will be transmitted as you expect. All printers and braille embossers, especially printers, have quirks that may require different values than we recommend for the settings. Nevertheless, once you get these page format issues under control, you should be transmitting virtually flawlessly formatted documents all the time. It's a matter of practice. Now we're finally ready to tackle actually transmitting blocks of text from the braille light to another device. New 15.3, sending blocks of text to another device. In this section, we deal specifically with sending blocks of text from the braille light to another device, such as a printer. Naturally, a block of text can be a whole file, but it can just as easily be less than that. Of course, you can use the commands discussed here to transmit blocks of text to other devices as well as to printers. But look at section 15.5 for more sophisticated ways to transmit files to and from computers. When you're sending blocks of text directly from the braille light to a printer, you must choose the format, braille or print, and you must consider things like page length, line width, and page numbering, as we discussed in the previous section. Formatting the text from the braille light is less important if you intend to edit the text with the word processor after you've sent it to your computer. But certainly you'll want your format to be just right if you're going to transmit directly to a printer. A telecommunications program can facilitate adjusting telecommunications settings to match those on the braille light. Furthermore, such a program can perform error checking during the transmission. There are several shareware versions that work well with speech synthesizers and screen access programs, and Lazy Engineering even has a program for $39 called PC Disk that uses almost all the same commands as our portable disk drive, including Y-modem transfer commands. For our discussion, we'll assume you have such a program and are familiar with its use. Remember to address those essential physical page format parameter considerations before you send text to a printer, or you may find the resulting printout very strange indeed. Now let's go through the mechanics of the transmission process. You can send text from the braille light to another device in the following ways. The entire file, a single line, paragraph, or a block of text. Each of these options starts with a P chord. Writing a certain letter after the enter transmit parameter prompt sends the desired amount of text to the other device. If you want the entire file to be sent to an ink printer, choose the letter A. To send the entire file to a braille embosser, choose the letter B. However, if you just want to send a smaller portion of the file, a line, paragraph, or marked block of text, when you press its corresponding letter, an L, T or M. The Braille writer is going to ask if you want to send the text in print or Braille. Answer with a T or a B, and your text is on its way, using appropriate formatting for print or Braille. Here are some details. When you're ready to send text from your currently open file, place your cursor where you want the transmission to begin, then press the keyboard. The Braille light says, enter transmit parameter. Write an L, T, or V to indicate whether you are sending from the current cursor position to the end of the current line, L, paragraph, T, M, mark block, or entire text from the cursor forward, V. Of course, to send a block of text that does not extend to the end of the file, you need to define the block. Before issuing the T-code, you must mark the block to be transmitted. Find the final character you want to include in your transmission. Move beyond it one character with about 6 chords. Mark the place by pressing an M chord. Then move to your starting point, the first character you want to include in your transmission. Now that you have defined the block to transmit, press a T chord. At the enter transmit parameter prompt, write an M. Then choose either T for print or B for Braille. And all the text from the current cursor location to the mark is transmitted. The nice thing is that appropriate print or Braille margins are honored for ink printers and Braille embossers, respectively. The commands T chord A or T, T chord B, and T chord F reduce the number of steps you need to perform in order to transmit text. T chord A or T automatically moves the cursor to the beginning of your file and transmits everything within that file. Any format conditions you have in effect are honored, respective to whether you're transmitting to print or Braille, margins, lines, and page length, etc. T chord B sends text from the beginning to the end of the file, but it turns off the Braille translator. It is the command of choice to transmit text directly to a Braille embosser. Any format values you may have set are in effect. If page numbering is on, the Braille page numbers are included in the printout in literary Braille notation. T chord F performs steps which are essential if you want to send clean text to a device for backup purposes only. If you want no format considerations, no Braille translation, and all of your text sent, then use the T chord F. It sends your cursor to the beginning of the file, turns off the Braille translator, if it is on, and sets all format parameters to zero before transmitting the entire file. Since the Braille light also has a parallel port through which you can transmit, let's show you how that works. All you have to do differently is to use chords instead of plain letters to select one of the options. So when you press a T chord and get the prompt, enter transmit parameter, press a second T chord for the entire file, B chord, L chord, M chord, T chord, F chord, or Z chord to send the transmission to the parallel port. No, that first option wasn't a misprint. Instead of using an A chord to transmit all text in your file, you need to press a second T chord because, of course, A chord is .1 chord, and .1 chord takes you back a choice in the options list for the T chord command. Those are the different ways to send blocks of text from the Braille light to another device. But wait, don't try printing just yet. Anyone who does a lot of printing knows how much paper is wasted in printouts that didn't come out just right for one reason or another. One final thing you can do before actually transmitting a file to a printer or a Braille embosser is to print a file to another file. What? How could that be of use, you might wonder. What we're suggesting here is transmitting your file with all of its formatting things as if it were going to a printer or a Braille embosser to another file in your Braille light. Transmitting the file as if it were going to a real printer means that all formatting things are replaced by the actual physical layout of the text, with pages numbered, say, with headers maybe, indented sections, etc. Then we can examine the layout carefully and make any necessary corrections to the file that still has the formatting saved. It might also save a few keys. To print a file from wherever you want to start in your currently open file, press a keyboard. At the prompt, enter transmit parameter, write an S. The bell light prompt, enter transmit parameter again. At this point, you can choose any of the options we've just described, A, B, L, M, P, S, or V. The bell light then prompts, enter file name. Write a file name like test1 and press a record. If the name you write doesn't exist already, your file is transmitted to the file called test1 and the bell light says OK when it's done. However, if there is already a file in your bell light called test1, you hear a prompt, file exists. Delete, skip, rename, or abort. When you choose D, the currently open file replaces the old one. When you choose R for rename, the bell light still transmits your file to test1, but it also adds a zero extension to your old file. When you select S or A, the whole transfer process is canceled. We recommend setting display all to on and turning on 8.bail. Most likely you'll find it easier to check through the file to see how it would appear on paper by reading it on the braille display rather than by listening to it with the braillite's voice. Here's one instance where the braille display can really facilitate matters. Chances are, an error in layout will leap out at you when you're reading with the display, whereas with the voice, you may or may not catch every layout glitch. Modems and other computers. Modems are special devices that link two computers together through the telephone line. You hook up a computer to your phone line by connecting the computer first to the modem and then the modem to the phone jack or to the phone itself. The computer you're calling is similarly linked to a phone line through a modem. We won't spend time on how modems work. These devices too have manuals which describe their setup and detail the commands to which they respond. For example, you can tell a modem to dial a phone, either by tones or by dial pulses. To dial 9 first, wait for a specified period before dialing the rest of the other computer's phone number. To answer the telephone when it rings and on which ring to answer, etc. The computer on your end of such a connection could easily be your braille light. Now, turning to computers, if you have a computer and you want to transmit data between it and your braille light, you need to run a telecommunications program in that computer. This program sets up the computer to receive information from an outside source, in this case, your braille light. As with printers, having the correct cable goes a long way toward making things easy. Blazing Engineering has telecommunications programs for the IBM PC and simple file capture programs for both the IBM PC compatible and the Apple families of computers. Also, there are several shareware products that work well with screen access programs. In addition, we have programs that come with our external disk drive, such as the textbook writer and the financial calculator. Since these programs come on an MS-DOS-compatible 3.5-inch floppy disk, even if you don't have a disk drive, you can still load them into your braille light by using a PC. Check with our customer support staff to find out how to obtain any of these programs. Now let's see how to connect the braille light to devices other than printers. To link your braille light to a modem, to another braille light or a braille NSpeak, and to some computers, like Apple models, you need a null modem cable or adapter. As we mentioned in section 16.1, matching up the right cables really eases your connectivity challenges. Make sure you get a null modem cable with the right attributes to match your braille light cable and a serial port on your modem or computer. The manual for your computer or modem should indicate whether you need a null modem cable, and certainly the dealer that sold it to you should be able to provide this information. We'll focus on the IBM PC-compatible, since it is the computer of choice for most visually impaired users, and since it doesn't require a null modem cable. Assuming you've connected the cables properly and have a telecommunications program running in your PC, you should be all set to transmit data. One last thing, though. Before you start attempting to transmit data, remember to make sure your telecommunications settings match baud rate, parity, data bits, stop bits, duplex, and handshaking. In section 13.2, we detailed all of these for you and explained how to change them, if necessary, on your braille light. Naturally, we can't explain how your particular telecommunications program allows you to change such settings. We suggest that you go through that manual for your telecommunications program to verify what the default telecommunications settings are, and that you check out how to change them in your telecommunications program if the need arises. Again, transmitting data can be a breeze, but only if all the settings match on both your braille light and the other device, and if your cables are the proper cables. Overlooking any one of these issues can cause you needless frustration and confusion. Setting it up right the first time will save you many headaches later. Back in section 4.10, we said we'd have to introduce you to another cursor tracking mode in addition to the keyboard cursor tracking mode we talked about in that section. If you're hazy about cursor tracking and keyboard tracking, go back and review that information in section 4.11. It'll save you time in understanding this new tracking mode we're about to discuss. When you're hooked up to a computer or to a modem, it's likely that data is coming into your braille light not just as whole files, but also as prompts and menus of choices. This is especially true when you're using your modem to talk to a bulletin board or to another user by modem. As data comes into your braille light from another device, it's automatically spoken to you. But the braille display doesn't necessarily move by itself just because data is being transmitted. Serial tracking, when turned on from the status menu, makes the display jump you to approximately the last 18 characters worth of data that the other device has sent into your braille light. If serial tracking is off, as it comes set from the factory, you can find out what came from the other device by tapping the right end of the advance bar to move forward through the data that was sent. This is usually the most desirable setup. That is, you hear the data being sent, but you review it by moving your display forward. When you type something in response to the data that came in, whether you see what you're typing as you're writing depends on whether you have keyboard tracking in effect. If you're confused, see the telecommunications questions in Appendix A for help. There may be times when you want the display to place you at the end of the data that was sent. This is mostly in cases where you're already familiar with the menu of choices being sent by a bulletin board, for instance. You want to be where the data stopped sending, so that you can tell when the braille display has stopped receiving data. To turn on serial tracking, bring up the status menu and jump to the setting by pressing a keycord. Write a Y to turn on the setting. From now on, your braille display will jump to the end of your file at the place where the data finished coming in from the other device. To toggle serial tracking on and off on the fly without having to go into the status menu, simply press the letter T together with the advance bar. Nevertheless, we suggest keeping it on most of the time when you're getting data from another device, so you always know the last piece of information that it sent. Next, we look at using modem protocols to transmit data between your braille light and a computer. Using sophisticated modem protocols in transmission. So far in our discussion of transmitting data from your braille light to a computer, We have talked exclusively about using your keyboard command. There is a simpler way to transmit data when you're dealing with whole files. A telecommunications program helps you to match telecommunications settings in the PC with those in your Braille light, but also helps you to transfer your files in the most error-free manner possible. Telecommunications programs vary in their levels of sophistication, but even the most basic ones ask you whether the file you're transmitting is in ASCII. Recall that the ASCII character set is made up largely of the alphabet, punctuation marks, numbers, and so on. It is possible to transmit a file that is a program written in binary or machine language, which is not in ASCII character, from one computer to another, and most telecommunications programs have provisions for transmitting such files. For the most part, however, files you transmit from your Braille light to your computer are ASCII files, even if they're in grade 2 Braille. When your telecommunications program is ready to receive a file from your Braille light and asks you whether you are sending it an ASCII file, you can answer yes, and use your keyboard command on the Braille light followed by the appropriate letter, B, for a Braille file, for example. However, most telecommunications packages now have more flexibility, and so does your Braille light. When it's ready to receive your file, a telecommunications program may also ask you whether you want to use a modem protocol, such as X modem, Y modem, Z modem, and even Kermit. Most of the time, any of these options is probably a better choice than a straight ASCII transfer. Note, the Braille light does not support Z modem. Basically, what these options do is to take the transmission in chunks rather than one character at a time, and to perform error checking on each chunk before accepting the next chunk. This explanation oversimplifies the concept, but at least this gives you a feel for why you might want to use a modem protocol. Let's go through a couple of examples of electing to use modem protocols for transmitting a file between the Braille light and your PC. Here again, we assume that all cables are connected properly, that you have matched baud rates, parity, data bits, and stop bits, etc. And we further assume that you are running a telecommunications program in your PC. First, let's look at a transfer going from the PC to your Braille light. From the Files menu in the Braille light, enter keycode for transfer. The Braille light prompts, enter S to send or R to receive. If you press an S or an R, you hear the names of the files as they are being transmitted. For now, let's write an R to receive a file. Now the Braille light gives you some options to consider. Enter X for X modem, Y for Y modem, Z for Y modem G, or K for Kermit. Note, Y modem G does not work with 38,400 baud for a file longer than one page. If you write an X for X modem, the Braille light asks, enter file name. Write the file name followed by an E-code. The Braille light confirms your choice with start the transfer. Obviously, on the PC side of things, you must choose X for X modem as well, in order for the transfer to work properly. If you choose Y for Y modem, G for Y modem G, or K for Kermit, the Braille light does not prompt you for a file name, because it gets that information as part of the transfer automatically. It creates a file name in your Braille light as it receives it from the PC. Incidentally, remember the S-chord command for the disk drive? You can use the Y option for that command as well to transmit files to an attached disk drive. Now, let's make sure you understand how to approach this process from the PC side. From within your telecommunications program, you select the Upload option. When the program asks how you want to send this PC file and offers you the various choices we've just discussed, you select the one that matches what you chose on the Braille light. So choose X for X modem if you selected that on the Braille light, for example. The telecommunications program asks you for the name of the PC file you want to send. Type the file name and press the appropriate key in your telecommunications program to send the file using the Enter key on your PC. When the Braille light has received the file, it will let you know with an OK prompt, followed by an Enter file command. Why that prompt? Well, remember that you issued the keycode from the Files menu. You're still there. If you want to see the contents of the file you just received, press the .456 code to bring you to the last file in your files list, and then press an O code to open it. Now, let's say that something went wrong and the transfer was aborted. In such a case, the Braille line says, transfer canceled, enter file command. You'll probably see some kind of error message on your PC as well. If you use the X-Modem option for transmitting files, you can only transmit one file at a time. However, with Y-Modem or Kermit, you can receive multiple files, and you can even use the wildcard characters as detailed in section 6.8 and appendix A for groups of files with similar names. For example, when your telecommunications program asks you for the name of the file you want to send, you could type *.txt. All files that have a txt extension in your current PC directory are queued up and sent to the Braille light. Each one is added to your files list with its own name as it is received by the Braille light. Our whole discussion so far assumes that there are no duplicate file names between the files you're trying to send from the PC and your Braille light files. But whenever the Braille line sees an incoming file that already exists, it stops and says, file exists, delete, skip, rename, or abort. When you select D for delete, your PC file replaces the Braille line file. When you choose S for skip, the PC just moves on to the next file name you marked for it to send to your Braille line. When you choose R for rename, your PC file is still sent to your Braille line, but the Braille light adds a zero extension to your old file's name to distinguish it from the one coming in from the PC. Choosing A for abort cancels the entire transfer process. Now let's look at sending a file from the Braille light to the PC using modem protocol options. We'll use the file called practice we created in chapter 4 as our sample file to transmit to the PC. Enter the Files menu and then press a Q code. This time, respond with an S to the prompt, enter S to send or R to receive. Now you are prompted to enter X for X-Modem, 1 for X-Modem 1, K, Y for Y-Modem, or K for Kermit. We didn't see the option 1 for X-Modem 1, K in the option for receiving files from the PC because the Braille light can distinguish whether it is receiving a file with plain X-Modem or with X-Modem with 1K protocol. Also notice that you don't see the option G for Y-Modem G here. If you had set your PC to receive the Braille light file with Y-Modem G, simply choose the Y-Modem option on the Braille light side to send the file to the PC. If you choose either the X or 1 options, for the two available X-Modem choices, you can send only one Braille light file at a time to your PC. However, if you choose either Y for Y-Modem or K for Kermit, you can send a bunch of files from your Braille light to the PC. When you choose the Y or K options for sending files from the Braille light to the PC, the Braille light places you in your files list, so that you can mark the files you want to send. Marking files in your files list prepares them to be sent. We'll see how in a minute. After you've marked the files you want to send, press an E code to start the transmitting. There are several ways to mark files for transmitting. One way is to move through your files list with .1 codes and .4 codes. You can press a C code to hear the name of the file you're pointing to repeated. And you can use L chords and .456 chords to move you to the beginning and end of your files list, as usual. When you come across a file you do want to send to the PC, mark it by writing a Y. In other words, you're saying, yes, I want to send this file. The Braille light responds, file name is marked. Now you can continue through your files list, marking other files to send to the PC. As you move through your files list in this marking process, the Braille light tells you whether the file you're pointing to is already marked. If a file was already marked from a previous transmission that you don't want to send at the present time, you can unmark it by writing an N. A faster way to move through this marking process is to press a Y chord that marks the file and automatically moves you to the next file in your files list. The fastest way of all is to send every file in your list to the PC, say for backup purposes. In that case, simply write an M to mark all files except for help in the clipboard. Press a U to unmark all your files at once. Yet another way to use the marking feature is to press an M chord or a U chord to mark and unmark a specific group of files that have similar names. For example, suppose you have several files in your BrailleLite with names like address.brl and practice.brl. You can press an M chord followed by the characters star.brl, and all files with names that end in .brl are marked for sending to your PC. Similarly, you can press a U chord followed by star.brl to unmark all such files so that they are not sent to your PC. By the way, pressing the spacebar toggles between marking and unmarking files to which you're currently pointing also. Remember, throughout this whole discussion of marking files, we've been in the middle of the transmission process. In other words, you entered your files menu, pressed the T chord to transmit, and then wrote an S for sending files from the BrailleLite to the PC. You then chose either Y or K for your modem protocol. And finally, now you have marked the files you want to send. To tell the BrailleLite that you finished marking files, as we said earlier, you press an E chord. That says, okay, I'm done choosing the files I'm going to send the BrailleLite. Now go ahead and send them, please. The BrailleLite says, start the transfer. This means that it's ready to send and is waiting for the signal from your PC that says, okay, I'm ready to receive. So now on the PC, select the download option in your telecommunications program. When prompted, choose the same protocol as you chose on your BrailleLite, for example, Y. For Y modem, you should hear ticking and hissing from the BrailleLite and the disk drive spinning in your PC as files come into it. In fact, you'll also hear numbers coming across your PC screen. Don't worry. These are error checking signals being emitted, and it's an indication that all is well. Should things go wrong, the PC and the BrailleLite both issue messages telling you that the transfer has been aborted. In the case of the BrailleLite, you'll find yourself back in the files menu at the prompt enter file command. You can either try the transfer again or check to see whether all your telecommunications settings match up, whether there's enough room in your PC to accept files, etc. See Appendix A for more help. Now we turn to another convenient feature of the BrailleLite. It can double as a speech synthesizer with a stream access program on your PC. U. 15.6. The BrailleLite as a speech synthesizer. The BrailleLite can perform double duty. Not only can it serve as your traveling note taker, record keeper, and calendar, it can be your portable speech synthesizer as well. As long as you have the appropriate cables and a screen access program in your PC that supports the BrailleLite, you can link your BrailleLite to your PC to its serial port, just as you would any other external speech synthesizer. See section 13.1 for a full discussion of cables. Also, even though some speech synthesizers now use a parallel port, the BrailleLite's parallel port only supports printers. Let's see how it works. First, we assume that you have a screen access program in your PC and that you understand its use. There are numerous screen access programs on the market. Blazer Engineering even has one of its own called PC Master. We won't get into the mechanics of how your screen access program works here, but we'll explain how to link the BrailleLite to your screen access program so that you can use the BrailleLite as a speech synthesizer. The BrailleLite works as a speech synthesizer with screen access programs that supports the Braille and speech as a speech synthesizer. Check whether the vendor of your screen access program supports the Braille and speech. If so, you may have to set up the screen access program with a Braille and speech driver supplied by that vendor. You'll need to hook up the BrailleLite to the serial port of your computer, as previously described. And all telecommunications parameters we detailed earlier, baud rate, handshaking and so on, must match. You may need to use a telecommunications program to set those parameters properly on your PC, or you may be able to use the MS-DOS mode command. Check your DOS manual for details. But since most screen reader packages preset telecommunications ports through 9600 baud, 8 data bits, 1 stop bit, and no parity, if you set your unit to match, your screen reader will probably work fine with the Braille light as a speech synthesizer. To use the Braille light as a speech synthesizer, get into the speech parameters menu with the usual AR sign chord.345 chord. Press an S chord. The Braille light says, speech box mode on, exit. You don't even have to press an E chord to exit the speech parameters menu. For the most part, the Braille light cannot accept input from its keyboard now. You can't check your calendar, perform a calculation, etc. In effect, you've turned the Braille light into a dumb device that can only accept information from your PC. The only input your Braille light accepts from you, directly, on the Braille light keyboard, is an AR sign chord to re-enter the speech parameters menu, followed by an S chord to turn off speech box mode and exit the speech parameters menu. Let's practice this much. Even if you don't presently have your Braille light linked to another device, you can test out this process. Press AR sign chord, followed by an S chord. You'll hear speech box mode on, exit. Now try and write something, anything. An O chord or a C chord. Nothing happens. Your Braille light is waiting for something from your PC. Even if it isn't hooked up to one, it thinks it is, and patiently waits and waits. Re-enter the speech parameters menu with an AR sign chord. Gee, that does work. And you hear the usual prompt, enter speech parameters. Now press an S chord, and you hear speech box mode off, exit. You're back in business. The Braille light should now respond normally again. Assuming your Braille light is hooked up to a PC, a screen access program that supports it, is properly installed to work with the Braille light, and you've turned the Braille light into a speech synthesizer, here's what happens. Just as we said, the Braille light is now dumb, patiently waiting for something from the PC. It monitors your interaction with the PC. Depending on how your screen access program is set up, every time you type a space or a punctuation mark, the Braille light may voice the word you just typed, or it may echo every character as you type it. If you issue a command for the screen access program from the PC keyboard, such as read me the whole screen, the Braille light says the contents of your PC screen to you. A more sophisticated way of using the Braille light as a speech synthesizer is to turn speech box mode on with a 4 sign chord. If you enter the speech parameters menu and press an FOR sign chord, .123456 chord, the Braille light gives you a choice about how it should read from the PC. Let's try it now. Again, you can test this out without having your Braille light actually hooked up to a PC. From the speech parameters menu, press an FOR sign chord. The Braille light says, enter L for line or B for block handshaking. Now, don't confuse this prompt with our earlier discussion of handshaking and telecommunications settings. After you write an L or a B in response to the prompt, the Braille light says, speech box mode on. Then you can enter the speech parameters menu in the usual way with an E chord. The choice of line or block handshaking is really subjective. If you choose line handshaking, the Braille light reads you text from your PC a line at a time, pausing at each carriage return. In fact, the computer will not send more text until the Braille light has read to you the present line of text. In many cases, you'll find it desirable to have the Braille light read this way when you're programming, for example, or reading through a list. Choosing block handshaking, on the other hand, means that the Braille light reads you blocks of text up to 256 characters at a time. It doesn't look for carriage returns as it reads to you. Using this choice creates a smoother, more natural-sounding speech from the Braille light, with more natural pauses and inflections, rather than pauses controlled by the physical ends of lines on a screen. You'll probably find this a more useful choice for reading through a document, where it is not important that you know precisely where one line ends and the next begins. Another interesting feature of speech box mode is indexing. This capability only works if the screen access program you're using supports indexing. Indexing means that the braille light is so closely linked to the PC cursor as it's reading that if you issue a stop reading command on your PC, the PC cursor and the braille light will both stop at the same place. In other words, the last word uttered by the braille light is the same word as where your PC cursor rests. This can be very handy when you're editing, for example, using a word processor in your PC. If your screen access program has the ability to change speech parameters for rate of speech, volume, and so forth, you can change how the braille light reads to you from your PC keyboard. Here's a brief list of speech parameters you might be able to control from your PC if your screen access program lets you do it.
Continue on track 8. Fast forward to the end of this side. 10 seconds.